on a recent morning in downtown Tippecanoe County, Indiana, an unusual scene.
We're here at the commissioner's meeting. It's pretty crowded for a Tippecanoe County commissioner meeting.
There's a standing room only crowd for a county commissioner's meeting, which is voting on whether to renew the county's syringe exchange. Near the back of the room, a line of white coats takes up half a row of chairs. They're from the Purdue University College of Pharmacy.
It also should be noted that infectious diseases such as HIV and Hep C do not discriminate based on profession.
On another side of the room, a mom is visibly upset. She gives her testimony wearing her kid around her body in a baby Bjorn.
This is decriminalizing a criminal drug. It is supporting a drug trade. That is my stance.
In 2015, Indiana legalized syringe exchanges to prevent the spread of HIV and hepatitis C. Yet this debate plays out every 1 or 2 years for every program. Unlike other states, which lets them go on indefinitely, Indiana requires county governments to reapprove exchanges to remain in operation. At one point, 9 Indiana counties had established syringe exchanges, which are also called needle exchanges or syringe service programs. The Tippecanoe County Commissioners extended their program, but 2 others in Madison and Lawrence counties were shut down after governments cast a no vote earlier this year.
I mean, imagine if there was a SARS outbreak and every year you had to have a meeting about whether or not we were going to put, you know, hand washing stations around town, right? It wouldn't happen.
Chris Abert has been working with addicted people since before the 2015 law was passed. He's the director of the Indiana Recovery Alliance, which ran the Lawrence County Exchange, one of the programs that was shut down.
Hey, how are you?
Abert still operates the Monroe County Exchange. He shows me around the big truck where he keeps sterile needles, cottons, cookers, and water distributed to people addicted to intravenous drugs. Abert also gives out naloxone and referrals to treatment.
We give these little gauzes a way to clean up, and that prevents abscesses.
Now, before he gives out materials with the Alliance's hours and locations, Abert takes a pen and scratches out Lawrence County's information. Many years of research has shown syringe exchange programs reduce rates of disease by keeping people from sharing and reusing infected needles and other tools. Before Scott County, Indiana, set up its program after its 2015 HIV outbreak, the rural county was seeing 10 to 20 new HIV cases every week. Almost immediately after, the number of new cases was slowed to about 1 to 2 a month. Even so, Scott County has to periodically vote to keep its program running. Abert says the renewing process puts the harm reduction initiatives at risk.
The problem lies more in the way Indiana structured the reapproval procedure.
The rural counties must perpetually reauthorize isn't the norm in other states, says Daniel Raymond of the Harm Reduction Coalition, who can't think of another with such a requirement.
Anytime that you force a vote amongst elected officials, you run the risk of it becoming a polarizing issue.
Even other states with newly established syringe exchange laws, such as North Carolina and Kentucky, don't ask counties to reauthorize. Indiana was somewhat rushed into the decision to legalize exchanges because of the Scott County emergency. Raymond says the state included the renewal provision to please more conservative legislators. He agrees with Abert. Programs need consistent political support.
The programs that are going to succeed in Indiana are the ones that are willing to make that long-term commitment.
Raymond says other states that had renewal laws eventually abandoned them. Time, he says, plays a big role in a state's opinion on harm reduction. And he says even former Governor Mike Pence, who initially opposed syringe exchanges on moral grounds, changed his mind in the end. For Side Effects Public Media, I'm Sarah Fentom.